Father in heaven, we thank you for this wonderful privilege. Father, representing you this night, I just thank you for this wonderful opportunity. Father, I'm so thankful for your deity. I thank you for your special promises. I thank you for the special gifts that you've given to us. And I thank you for the foundation that you've put before us, Lord God, that we might walk and not have to go to a place of uncertainties. But we can realize that we're walking in places of truth. We're walking in places of honor. We're walking in places of esteem by thee as our leader, our waymaker, our savior, the one that loves us, and the one who has made us. And Lord, you will complete that wonderful journey if we will stay faithful toward you. Lord, you're preparing for us a special home, a special blessing. Father, we thank you for that peace that passes all understanding. Father, I truly believe in you. I believe in your word. And I'm thankful how you've expanded my understanding of your word here lately and how it's nothing I've done. Father, you just show me these wonderful truths, and I'm thankful for it. And I thank you, look, I don't even know how to talk. You help me there also. And I thank you that I'm just feel like a little baby that's without any, cannot do anything within myself. But I know that you make me more than conquerors through Jesus, which loved me. And Father, I thank you that you prepared this night, a special night in my name.
Yes.
Father, we pray for those that's absent this night. We pray that you'd bless them. Father, we pray for our friends and our people that we knew, our acquaintance. Yes. And Father, even though they do not understand us, Father God, we pray that you might bless them, nevertheless, in a mighty way. Father, we pray that no ill will come their way. And Father, we pray that you will work out a special pathway for them. And Father, we just pray that for the strength of your strength to be here tonight in a very powerful way. And we thank you in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for the Holy Ghost. Lord, Holy Spirit, I love you and I praise you this night. Holy Father, I love you. Jesus, I love you. I love you. Hallelujah, I love you. Lord, I love you and I praise you, Lord. I exalt you this day. I believe you're going to come back and do wonderful works very soon. Father, I thank you in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. I've got some scriptures. I'm going to have you both read them, and maybe then we'll have a little groundwork. I'm going to let you read them, and I'll sort of just comment when I have to, and to get us started, because these scriptures need to be read. It's Luke in the 21st chapter, starting with about the 14th verse, going on to the 36th verse.
Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolk and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon, and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake unto them a parable, Behold, the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, You see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that they come upon you unawares, for as a snare it shall it come on them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man.
Thank you very much. And Brother Clint, would you add to that? 1 Corinthians 3rd chapter, starting the first verse. Because the Bible plainly says there's going to be a great falling away. And this here will tie in a lot of it. Because the Lord is speaking there's so much prophetic word that's been spoken in the Word of God that most people don't take it to heart. But it's prophecy advanced. Some of this prophecy is basically today. And some of the things that's going to take place. It's written pretty well spelled out through the Spirit. And so it's part, it hooks together what we just, because Jesus said this, but this prophecy started a little later when Paul came, but links into what's going to happen in a degree before this is actually fulfilled, because there's a tapering period here in the 21st chapter of Luke that talks about maybe there's a few years interval in this period of time, but this part we're bringing in is going to what's going to happen to dilute God's people. The Bible said if he didn't shorten the day, the very elect would not be able to be saved. There's going to be something that comes that people won't understand what's taking place. It's a great power surge. It's going to have no power. They think it's going to be the answer, but in reality, it's going to be a deception. And so if you'd read in the 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, in the first verse, going down written all.
And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying, and strife, and divisions, are ye not carnal, and walk as men?
Okay, now go down about verse 10.
According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is.
Every man's work.
If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours.
There's a great problem that's being unveiled, actually started in the last few years. And that unveiling is to get a church that is not really in the place that God wants his power to be laid upon it. And this is through some of the churches which has been the big leaders. But through the education of men, and great deception has started to creep in. But Satan is the problem behind this whole situation. And he is the author of bad things. He brings forth confusion. And if you would, just before we go on too much farther, I want you to look at 2 Thessalonians, starting with the second chapter, and go down through to about the fourth verse, and then take off again, 8th verse, and go down to the 12th verse.
Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And then verse 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness.
1 Corinthians, I'm going to read this, the first chapter and the 17th verse. And Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and shall bring to nothing the understanding of them that are prudent. God is really very anxious and very determined for his people. He loves them in such a way that he doesn't want to lose one individual. But God has made us in such a way, he's developed us, that we can go against God and God will not stop us. You know, people say, why don't God stop? Well, God just doesn't. He gives us a free rein. He gives us a free hand, and he hopes we will come out day by day serving him. But the deception's taking place. The enemy has, he knows where he's headed. He knows he's got eternal destiny that's not going to be good. But he wants to take, for some, I don't understand why, but he wants to take as many as he can with him. And these become victims of him. And these are also many, many, many that really he gloats over, as those who have once known the Lord. And if he can get them over there, he has a great, he thinks it is a great wonder against God, because he's against God. But God uses this for a special reason. He uses it in all these tests that we might become overcomers. In Revelations, it talks about in the second chapter of Revelations that Jesus said, he says, your works are not made perfect. He goes down the list of the seven churches, how they were not right with God. He gives down the place and he says, he rather you be hot or cold as lukewarm. And I believe the church of God is so lukewarm right now. It is lukewarm. It's not on fire. It's being sabotaged by the powers of darkness. It has sabotage from within its ranks. It couldn't be dropped down. Only come in the inner man, in the inner direction. And through this, there's a great falling away. There's a great move of the Spirit. It's not the Spirit. You can go to church now and you don't feel the move of the Spirit, because it's not of the Spirit. It's moving to a sideline, and it's all done in the name of the Lord, but yet it's not by the Spirit of God. It's saying something that's not reality. It's a false doctrine. It's a false hope because the leadership needs to be under the direction of the Holy Ghost. When the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, and it becomes a stronghold for God, who have the Spirit of God. But when the enemy gets it's a stronghold for the enemy. And through this, people start moving in their own fleshly. Their flesh starts being the one that's the leadership. And the Bible talks about the flesh. It's something that can't do God's will. Our flesh, as the best it is nothing to compare what God wishes for His people. That we could be more than conquerors through the Spirit of God. We enable us that we might be walk above reproach. It takes His Spirit to help us to endeavor to do these things for God. So there is a great controversy that's going on now. And it's a real problem because the churches are bending through America. There's a great landfall, and they're reading great books that's being adapted to people that, you know, you don't really have to. We're not going to have the word sin no longer. We're just going to say, you know, you sort of missed the mark, and you have these bad thoughts. We, instead of asking God, basically, they don't even mention God. But they go to your brother, have him, and so they're going the same way as AA. You go there and you get this, and that's not scriptural. Bible says we must confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Former things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. It's a new process, a new direction, a new blessing, a new hope, a new resurrection. That as Christ resurrected from being crucified upon the cross, that's what we should model from. Jesus came to this earth to live as a man. Yet he was without sin. He was sinless. He lived as a sacrifice for mankind, that he could be placed upon that cruel cross. And the Father took his eyes off of it. He could not stand. And he took our sins and the world's sins, and he projected upon his shoulder. And those stripes were put on upon his back, become our healing. And when he took that blood, that special blood that was spilt from his body, it became our salvation, our hope, our assurance. And the people of this world now have spurned that to such a degree that they've come to a place that puts Jesus in an open chain, an open place of reproach. And through that, God is not very satisfied. I know it. He sees the hurt. He has given a pure sacrifice. And men have actually come to a place that they don't even need the sacrifice no more. They're preaching nothing about the cross. They're not preaching anything about what took place with Jesus. They're just taking that God is a good person. He is so happy with you people, and He is so delightful in you, and He just doesn't care. But God does care. He is forever faithful. And He sees every moment, He sees every movement, He sees, understand, the canker worms, the sin that's in the camp, He sees the degradation, He sees the souls that's going out in eternal hell without Him, and He cannot really do anything about it. It's the pitfall of men, that man is brought down to a degree. It's terrible when you have a people, a society that's bringing down a false hope for God's people. And people are giving their money, they're giving their tithes, and it's all going in for someone. It's going in for a fellowship, a movement, a church design. But we need to get things together because there's a high calling on the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the churches, the pastors, should get right with God. You don't stand up for God and preach without the anointing upon you. It's dead without it. And you will not be able to. But God has told me that they have to be holy before Him. It's easy for us. It's not like the days when it was in the old priests when they had to just work to, because it was putting the sacrifice down that saved them. But Jesus has made that sacrifice. And through that, He's brought power. He's brought the anointing. He's brought the oil of God's salvation, the oil of salvation upon us, that we might be freed and set free from the particles of darkness. And we've allowed our church to get mingled with wrongdoings. And I know it doesn't please our Heavenly Father. It doesn't please Jesus. It don't please the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost is left out, we're more than conquerors through Him which loves us. He is the great one. He is the ambassador from the heaven. God has sent forth the ambassador, the Holy Ghost, here to be our Savior, to be our helper, to live with us, to walk with us, to become our friend, our better than anyone else. And we have let Him down. And thrones of people have let Him down. And breaks my heart when I see people that cannot say Holy Ghost. They cannot say even the Holy Spirit. If they do, it's downgraded to a step that He is basically nothing. And our Holy Ghost is not a wimp.
He is wonderful. He is a third of the gospel of God. He is God the Father God. He is part of God. He is in the Godhead. He is God himself. Come down to relate with mankind. And we don't even have to understand. He is part of God that has come down here to live. He is our peacemaker. He is our way maker. He is our Savior. He is our soon coming King. And he will make us available and put us in right conditions at that day that our hearts will be made perfect. And that day that we'll be accepted. That call from heaven when the trumpet of God shall sound, and time shall be no more. The saints of God shall be lifted up to the clouds of glory, and they shall go to a place of eternal blessing, and it shall be forever and ever and ever. And yet these ones that miss out are going to be in a place of great problem. And Daniel says it's going to be a day of a hard day, a day of troubles, a day of problems. In Revelations it talks about starts down the vials and all the things that have taken place. And when this starts taking place, the saints are going to be gone. We're going to say the saints are going to come out about the second or the fourth chapter of Revelation, that period. And the saints, because God's speaking to the church, and he's speaking to the church then, he's speaking to the church now, that we must make right, we must make restitution, we must seek God with all of our hearts, all of our soul, that it's our life. It means everything. If we don't, there's going to be a lost dispensation, a lost people. That God has put it all on the line. And the enemy, we've allowed the enemy to come in our churches where we should be worshiping God. Brought us into a place that we accept damnable words of teaching. Damnable things that bring us down. And I'm not cussing when I'm saying this. It brings us down to a place of a low place. God wants a special people, a holy people, a righteous people. Cry out, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Hallelujah, I love you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I will live in thy power. I will live in thy anointing. God's come to shelter us, protect us, to guide us, to direct us. The Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pasture. This is the Holy. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name. He does this daily. Though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they cover me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy. Oh, hallelujah. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. And we shall dwell in the house of the Lord. I will lift my eyes to the hills. Whence come my help? For we don't mingle no longer in this world. The Bible says, love not the world. In the things that are in the world. If any man loveth the world, the love of the Father is not him. Sister Jan read there's going to be a falling away of our hearts. We're going to go after things of this world, tangible things. We're not even going to be aggressive the things that we see. Because what we're seeing is not what to see. Our seeing is by faith. We're no longer seeing visible things. Because what's here, we realize it's hands off. We don't need it. We don't need anything that's of this world. We need what we have. We have pain by faith. We have pain that has a day coming when we're going to be translated out of this place to a better place. We're going to go to heaven itself. We're going to enjoy our Lord God. And God's going to give me a better voice. He's going to give me a better direction. He's going to give me an inheritance. Faith's not a way. He's going to give me that supernatural power that's enabled us, but till he does, I'm going to be faithful, and we're going to be faithful, serving the Lord thy God with all of our hearts, with all of our soul. Hallelujah. What a privilege serving the King of Kings.
Amen.
But it really bothers me when this twist comes in such a way. I know why God says, he says, we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. He doesn't move in the hearts that buildings made with hands. It's an axe, but he moves in our hearts. That's why he comes out. Sister, I couldn't understand the other day. I said, I see God move mightily out here. I was just working on that road. And everybody's got it pictured. You can't move unless, you can't do enough unless you're in a church. The church has actually got to be sanctifying. They're full of problems because they put wrong teaching. You can't put people as non-believers in a place of authority. It doesn't work. Paul spoke about it. You don't put novices in the position of authority. It'd be just like our nation putting novices in as generals of the army. And some of the novices live in the White House, but they don't really know. But the generals know. They know because they know they've been schooled, they've been trained. There's many of them who've been through wars, and God brings us as a army of people that's went through the ranks that know thus saith the Lord God. God has an anointing, a special covering for his people. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under that covering. And he will say, the Lord, you are my refuge, you are my fortress, my God, in you will I trust, hallelujah. I will lift my eyes to you this day because I love you. You're coming soon, but I'm preparing it. I want you to be, I want to be a vessel of praise that I can honor you, that I can lift up the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I can see people that don't understand what I'm telling, but the greatest thing that we have to offer God is our life. We can't really do God justice until it works here. And then God will let us open the doors. We don't have to worry about the work. He will do it. Amen. He will send phone calls like this woman that needed to be prayed for. That's what the work, that's the zoo of the Spirit.
Oh, hallelujah, yes.
You don't have to come through the telephone lines of, we got to come down here and figure these things out. Well, if we got to figure it out, it's not by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
I'm persuaded neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principality, things present, neither height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We need this constant awareness that God is ever faithful, that God lives within us, that God wants to pursue us, which is such a blessing that He sees us every inch we go. We feel like we're alone at times, but He's right there. He never will leave us. He's always pursuing us if we're doing right. And when we're doing wrong, He gets far from us. He cannot hear us. So we do great damage. So the churches are stained. Years ago, God showed me these churches, Ichabod, on churches. But today, I wouldn't want to even ask Him where Ichabod is. God knows my heart, I won't even. But I seen Ichabod years ago. So I know there's a lot of churches that are where there shouldn't be. God has wanted us to start growing. From the 50s up to now, people should be growing, seeking God. And they didn't have people prepared for eternity. People will be ready. And our children be ready, and our grandchildren be ready, and our friends would be ready, because we'd be moving by His Spirit.
Amen.
Bible says one shall put 1,000 to fight, but if two or three shall put 10,000, it multiplies. Yeah. One can only do so little, but two can do more greater, yeah. And three or four do greater than that, because there becomes a multiplication in the spirit world.
Amen.
God's spirit world is real. It's the holy blessing that comes upon this earth. This earth, if it wasn't for God right now, would fly in a million pieces. It's only God that's keeping us going. It's only His handiwork that comes upon us, that aids us, that supports us, that God brought healing to that woman and brought healing to her body. And He wants to do this over and over and over. He wants to bring like a great artesian well from heaven.
Amen.
And we're not done through the supernatural of everybody knowing about it. He does it in the secret of our hearts. Hallelujah. He does it through internet or some way that's not proclaiming that you show yourself mighty, but God is mighty.
Amen.
And that's the key. Hallelujah. You've got to lower yourself to a place, humble yourself, that God can touch you. He says He will lift us up in His time. Humble yourself in the mighty hand of God that He might exalt you in due time. So in His time, He will exalt us. He will pray. He will not always have to be down scrubbing forth. There'll be a time that you'll be raising the windows and doing things, getting things. There comes a time when we must act as appropriate as unto God. We're willing to scrub the floors. We're willing to do anything that it takes to enable us to be a pleasing vessel for God. God wants pleasing on our vessels. It talks about that scripture which you read. Some of our things are for gold, silver. All these are going to be judged. We're going to be judged. We're going to be judged what we're doing, and we need to seek God that these last few days will be righteous, that they will be inspired by God, that they will lift holy hands without wrath, that we come into His presence with singing, that He is the Lord our God. He will bring a saving glory upon His people. He will give a savor of His blessing. The anointment will rest upon His people. As Aaron, the oil will come down upon us, the glory of God. God wants to reestablish His people. He wants to bring holiness to us. Without holiness, no man shall see or please God. And what's been allowed, that we've allowed the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to be sin capitals.
That's right.
Proclaiming sin. And nothing can wash my sins away but Jesus.
Amen.
He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by Jesus. He is our waymaker. He is our Savior. He is the King of kings, the Lord of glory. Revelation start seeing, as we see these things coming past, that over about the midway of Revelation, it says that one third of the earth shall be destroyed, and there's going to be great consequences. Going to be, it says that there will be a great earthquake, and I'm persuaded that that may be at the time of the Lord, the return of God's people. I really don't know all these answers, but I do know by the Spirit of God, it's very informative to the people of God. It's a place that God has his people ready, and they're going to be banished, and they're going to be to another place, a better hope, and then they're going to come up, and they're going to have a day of rejoicing, a day of really wonderful blessings. The Bible says, but it's written, I have not seen, neither ear heard, neither has ear in the heart of man, that things are prepared to the love of God, but God hath revealed them by his Spirit. Yea, the Spirit searches, yea, the deep things of God. People have put the Spirit of God into a low degree, but he's going to be the high degree. He is going to be exalted. He's going to be prodded. And those that love him is going to be exalted up to him. And he's going to take those that love him. We're going to a heavenly home, a place of great, great power and great blessings, a place of no more hurts, no more problems. The Bible says in Revelation, no more, there's going to be no more fear, no more the things that we care about in this land, that we have to fight off the elements of this world. We're not going to have them up there. Those things that be like the little bugs and the gnats and the snakes and all the things that we deal with upon earth, and speeding cars and all the things that comes down that we live in, that there is, we're going to be free from all these extra curriculums that's upon us that we face in life. There's things that we face, we always try to face, pray that God will give us a safe journey and all these, that they become people that, there's wrecks every day of the year. There's probably people go to heaven or to hell every day of the year. There's people that's coming to that last day of the life. Probably today, tomorrow will be others. And we all live in a prescribed area. We don't know, our tomorrows are very uncertain. But what we do know, the God we need to be available is at all times. The only way that we can make this live is walking in the Spirit of God. Taking no chances about tomorrow. No, taking no chances. I am not going to take no chances. I want to be with God's love. I want to feel his glory upon me. I want to feel that supernatural presence of God. If God be for us, who can be against us? But if we don't straighten up, there's going to be many, many, many that the church is going to lose that wonderful blessing. And there's going to be heartaches. There's going to be failures. When they find themselves and the trump of God has sounded, and there'll be some that will come to their reasoning and say, you know, we've missed it. Where did we err? Well, they erred was against the Holy Ghost. All of these other we bring out as problems, he'll bring us in those problems when we stay in the Holy Ghost. Amen. We don't really have to know if we're in him. Amen. All these things that pastors teach about, they're good. But the Holy Ghost, is he enables us. He will teach us in all truth. He will tell us the things of the Word. He will inspire us to follow certain directions. He will come upon us with great love, with great admonition, with blessings upon us, that we might be able to serve him out of the abundance of our heart. Yeah. That we will have that glory. We will have that attitude of praise, loving him and thanking him. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. We receive that extra added dimension with the Spirit of God, that we feel his goodness. We feel that blessing. I believe that there'll be some in the last days that'll be saved without feelings. I really do, because I believe that they'll have enough faith. So every time we go back from God, he lessens that feeling. And so it's like going down here in a courthouse. And if I'm convicted, I have to pay my sentence. But God, basically, he forgives us. But after we do it over and over and over, he starts clipping our wings. We do the same with us, basically the same as Samson. Pretty soon we're going to make it. But look what we're going to go through. Look, all the turmoil. And life with the hurts is very sad. Our life in joy is very good, but it doesn't always work that way. We can be good people and still have toothaches, have problems. Hopefully we'll not have too many. But you know, the other day I went down and worked on that road, and yesterday morning I could not hardly stand up. I used muscles that I hadn't used in a long time, and I was really, I was hurting. So our bodies are very non-adjustable, basically, to some of the things that we do. We think that we're getting by with something like that. I thought I didn't have an idea that I was going to, because I was thinking I did pretty good. I worked about 3 or 4 hours straight without stopping. And I thought, boy, I'm in pretty good condition. But then, boy, the next day, the answer come that, hey, you know, see, you're out of shape. And that's the point of, America is out of shape with God.
That's right.
America is out of shape with God. They have not been around God enough, and they need to get back in shape with God if they want to leave this earth having a home, not a place that shouldn't be mentioned. And that home is perfect. And the other place where many, many are going to enter in is a terrible place. It's a place of torture. It's a place of disaster. It's beyond any degree. It's a terrible place. God has a wonderful place, and that place is the opposite of the other way. But as God shows us, there's only two ways. It's His way or the opposite way. And the opposite way is led by the master one that has come against the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the enemy. He has come to steal, to kill, destroy. He's come to disturb, to maim the child of God. He has come to destroy God's people. He's come that we have lost any hope. We're Sadducees. We're sad in our hearts, and we're a bunch of Sadducees. God wants to be happy, 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 happy. He wants to be on fire with the Spirit of God, that we will be put in heavenly places. And we need that inspiring word of God, the anointing of God. We need that surrender to God, that we will seek Him first, that we will want to have that purity of our heart, that we want to praise Him, that we won't have our guidelines no other way but by the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm persuaded unless God's people make some serious changes very soon, the very elect's going to miss it. Those men that we was with at breakfast, if things don't happen, you know, I'm not judging people, but I really got the Bible says the righteous scarcely be saved. Where shall the ungodly? The ungodly is where the people they've known God. And in the first chapter of Romans, it says, I read it today, it says, those who have once known Him. And if they depart from the way, it says, wicked things shall happen to them. They will even go out to the depth that they will love another man. We know this is, but it's what happens to us when we lose the love of God. Those men that have, or women the same also, when we lose that first love, when we lose that anointing of God, you know what, I'm going to hit a little harder here tonight. I believe that we need to realize that God has called the men to take their place. I'm not going to go in any depth, but I read it in the Word of God, and God wants us, and what's happened, the men have been lazy. Men have not arisen that place, that they would shoulder that place, that they would be warriors for the Lord God, that they would be as soldiers for God. The men have dropped to a degree that they've taken the lesser road. I've been at churches, the women are all of the champions, the men are a bunch of pansies, a bunch of flakes, a bunch of nobodies. And they let them see that there's, and they don't really, and that's why our homes are getting destroyed. Because God wants leadership in His people. He wants the anointing. He wants, women is very special. But I was reading today, it says, they're the leaders that come in and put the women at right. They have a ministry too. A big ministry. Because they minister more to the families. But I'm not bringing that, but we need to get our priorities. Men need to get right with God. And I'm sure not going to come and bring anything against that until this takes place. But men need to consecrate themselves holy as God's priest. We're going to be kings and priests in those 1,000 years. We need to start taking advantage of it right now. This is schooling right now. This is a time to accept the load of heaven, that we will lift our eyes to the hills, and we will receive that anointing, that strength from heaven. We don't no longer see the things of this world, but our eyes look to heavenly things. We look for a new heaven, a new earth, where dwelleth righteousness. We're walking above reproach. We're walking in the vicinity of the angels walking with us by our sides. He will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. We have that faith that we don't see what we're seeing here. We have seen in heaven. We feel the praise, the glory of God, that we might be a blessing. But I'm really very concerned. And I won't even tell you all that but the churches really, hopefully that there's more that's serving the Lord than I think. But God's wanting a peculiar people.